if in the Bible, the book of John, if you have your Bibles with you, in the book of John, the third chapter, you'll recognize that, the very, very, very familiar words where Jesus is interacting with Nicodemus. Chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and we receive not our witness. And I have told you, if I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless the word, the holy inspired word to your people. Anoint the preacher to preach, anoint the people to hear, open the ears, and let the Holy Spirit have full liberty among us tonight, that we might respect and honor your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the first thing that we're going to run into when we talk to people about the Lord is that they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. And they will give you that testimony very readily. They don't believe it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that it was something by which we could live. And from that, we have all of the rest of the problems stemming out from that particular point of view. And that is problem number one that we face. Now, how is it that you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Because, my friend, when you were saved, the Holy Spirit gave you the knowledge to know that this is the Word of God, that is God speaking to you, and you know that as a conception for which you form the rest of your values for your life. We respect and we honor the Bible, and we know that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I would have thought there would be an amen somewhere in there, but I think I've staggered into an Episcopalian church. I don't know what happened on that. So let me tell you, it's okay. You can jump up. You can run around. You do whatever you want to do. Just don't throw tomatoes. That's verboten. No tomatoes. So the Bible is the basic issue that we face when we're in the field with people. The second is a concept of God, a mistaken or misunderstood understanding of the concept of God. What we find in the community and in the world system in which we live, where the young people have come up with the public school system, and we have, let me hasten to say, we have many, many good Christian teachers laboring in a very, very difficult situation in the public school systems. But they are bringing up a world system of values that go against the Bible. See, we're back to the Bible again. They come up with a concept of God that is some vague power somewhere, some first cause, some external principle from which all of these cults and all of these false teachers have come. We have many, many cults abounding in our world today. For example, New Age. You know, we live in our little bubble here. Our friends are independent Baptists. Most everybody's saved. We live in our own little bubble. Here we are. But I invite you to go into a bookstore, Books A Million. Go in and look for the shelves, plural, of New Age books. You'll see for yourself what I'm talking about. And what do I mean by New Age? Well, by New Age, I mean that concept that says that Jesus was just a good man. He was maybe a prophet, maybe a healer, something of that nature, but he was just another man like you and I are men and women. And that God is out there somewhere, that there certainly is some kind of power somewhere, but we don't know what it is. But as a result of our behavior, we can grow in our spirituality. Their key phrase is, we're spiritual, but not religious. That's their key phrase. And we soon can become God. Oh, well, gee, I should have done that. That would have been something good. A vague thing that leaves no Christ, no sin, no salvation. There's not such a thing as sin. I'm speaking according to these cults and New Age oriented, most of which have come from the Eastern religion influence. And they've come in saying that there's no such thing as sin. That there are mistakes, but the mistake is punishable by the act itself. Now I need to stop and explain, or Johnny won't be able to understand what I'm talking about. I get a flat tire and I get mad, so I kick my flat tire and I break my toe. Do you see what I'm saying? The punishment was in the act, the sin I committed of kicking the tire. And that my broken toe is the punishment in the act. This might be a little too much for you folks on a Sunday night. I don't know. We're working on it, though. I'll tell you. It's all, and then it's intertwined with humanistic psychology, and it's all brought together in one big package that ends up with no God, no sin, no salvation, no purpose. That life is a mistake that took place because of some amoebas rolling around in some a pond eons ago. I was hoping somebody'd be awake. I like my audience to either emerge inspired or awaken refreshed. That was a pity laugh, but it's appreciated. It's appreciated anyhow, you know, what can I tell you? I mean, I'm up here dying, Russ. I need your help. I mean, you could holler out amen or do something, you know. The preacher, pastor told me on the way in, if you're in a black church and they say preach on, that means you're not doing any good. He said, preach on, pastor. I love it. Hey, I was talking to, I meant to introduce Pastor Bill and Frida. These are my friends from Venice. They came with us tonight. And I was talking to him on the phone. I'm going to tell you this before he tells it on me, don't you see? I was talking to him on the phone, and I looked down and I was talking to the television remote. Now that's not a made up joke. That's a true story. Oh my Lord, help me, Jesus. Talking to the remote. But it didn't matter because he can't hear a thing anyhow. He just sits there and nods and he says, "That's right, brother." He hadn't heard none of it. Yeah. Well, the third thing that you'll run into out in the field is you'll run into the fact that people will say, "Pastor, I've lived a good life. I think I've lived a good life. I've lived a good life." And I tell you, the most heartbreaking thing, one of the many heartbreaking things that has happened to me, but one happened to me in Valdosta, Georgia, standing at the foot of the bed of a woman who we thought at the time was dying. And she said to me, I've tried to talk to her, a member of the congregation, "I've been preaching my heart out and talked to the gospel for years to these people." And she said to me, she said, "Pastor, I believe I've done more good than bad in my life." See, having missed the essence of what it takes for eternal life. See? And thank God she said that so we could talk more about it. But let's look at what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus, well, let's call him one of the church people. There was no such church, of course, but let's call him the church people of his day. And he was a leader. Verse 1 says he was a ruler of the Jews. He not only was a Pharisee who tried their hardest to try to do good, and they had made up so many tedious rules that they were breaking their neck trying to do all of these crazy things that they had dreamed up and added to the word. But let's say he was a church man of his day and that he was trying to do good. And he says, he recognizes that Jesus, he calls him Rabbi, he knows that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except that they come from God. So we see that he was looking, he was searching, he was reaching for something that had meaning to his life, that added purpose to his life. Now it brings to mind another young fellow from the Bible. You'll remember him. His name is the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. He said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you obey the commandments." And he said, get this, you ready for this? He says, "Oh, sure, I've done that my whole life." You know, very flippant, very easy, that's called easy religion, right? He had done that his whole life. I had a fellow I was talking to one time. He said he lived by the Ten Commandments. I said, "Really, have you ever stolen anything, maybe when you were a child?" He said, "Oh, yeah, of course I have." I said, "Well, have you ever told a lie?" He said, "Yeah, I have." I said, "Well, you're a liar and a thief, and we've only covered two commandments." Yeah. So he had no concept of what he was talking about. But yet Jesus, the master of the universe, looked him directly in the eye, the same way he looks at us, each one, this day and every day. And he said, "Well, then go and sell everything you own and give it to the poor and come and follow me." The creator of the universe, the master of everything that exists, looking him in the eye and inviting him to come and be a part of his ministry. And he said, I just can't do it. He owned so much stuff. He couldn't do it. And he went away sorrowful. You know, that brings us to one of the fourth thing of that keeps people from coming to Christ, and that's a love of the world. A love of the things of the world. You know, the modern expression is, that we're so distracted, the next shiny thing, have you heard that expression? The next shiny thing catches our attention, and off we go. What a time of the year to think about the rich young ruler. We are so obsessed with consumerism and materialism that we have just about forgotten the true meaning of Christmas. And that's why I'm so thankful for Thanksgiving, because I didn't have to buy my wife no present or nothing like that. I got plenty to eat. That was good. No, I'm being serious now. Because we didn't go buy anything, all we're supposed to do is to pause and to say that we live in a country that sets aside a day, the fourth Thursday in November, to thank God for everything that we've got and all that He has poured out, the blessings. He has opened the windows of heaven and poured out upon us every blessing that you can possibly conceive of. And you can say amen to that. And yet, folks, we're so busy from the day to day. We're so busy with the electric bill. We're so busy with the kids are in trouble. Oh, we got to go see the principal again. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? No, I don't have any kids that go to the principal. Do you? Oh, good. And we are so concerned with all these troubles that we face and day-to-day busyness, that we forget to thank God for what He's done for us. Now, I tell you the truth that I'm so thankful. I'm not trying to be silly or melancholy or stupid, but I'm so thankful for every single blessing. And you'll get to that age too, I'm sure, where you'll even be thankful for the very next breath that you take. That you'll pause and you will examine the creation that God has allowed us to live in and the beauty of that creation, and that He's given us life, He's breathed life into our nostrils, and that we are able to live for Him and with Him and in Him, and He in us, and we are among the most blessed of all people in the world. Well, we've talked about the Bible. We've talked about a concept of God. We've talked about living a good life. We've talked about materialism. What about the words of Jesus Himself? You know, the thing I like about the words of Jesus... Oh, I got the Bible upside down. That's not good. The thing... Well, they're printed in red. You can see them, right? They're right in here. The thing I love about the words of Jesus, you know, Jesus documented the Old Testament. This is not in the sermon. This is just for free. This is called a rabbit chase. You know, Jesus spoke of the law of Moses. That's Old Testament. Jesus spoke of Jonah and the whale. That's Old Testament. If someone says, Pastor, do you really and truly believe that the whale ate Jonah and spit him up and put him out? Oh, I believe every single word of it. I believe it just as sure as I'm breathing air. And you know why I believe it? Jesus Christ said, the 3 days that Jonah spent in the belly of the whale. See? Amen. That's what I like about it. He's our master. But people won't hear. People won't hear what He has to say. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now there's the bottom line right there, the very words of Jesus. If we won't listen to the words of Jesus, then we won't listen to anybody or anything. He says, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born anew, that you become a new creature in Christ. What a wonderful thing that Jesus and His words. Fanny Crosby wrote beautiful words. She said, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Can you sing that song tonight? Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. I hope that's your prayer tonight. If that's not your prayer tonight, then this is the very time, this is the moment in eternity for you to bend your knee to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, and receive him as your Lord and your Savior. And if you can sing that song, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, then you sing praises to Almighty God and worship him and praise him every day that he gives you strength enough to get up off the bed and go out and serve him one more time. And then we see, look at verse 8 if you would. We'll see there's some earthly logic. There's some logic. There's some earthly reasoning taking place here that where he says, wait a minute, Nicodemus says, what am I supposed to do? Actually be physically born again by my mother? And of course, obviously, that is not the case. And Jesus said, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You were born once, and you had a birthday, and you celebrate that day every year, and that was the day you were born in the flesh. My dear friend, if you're saved tonight, you have another birthday, and that is the day that you were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his infinite grace and mercy of God, that you were saved, and you can sing saved, and I love to proclaim it. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. And that's your song, and that's our song tonight in this great church. Well, you have people who then question the nature. You say, that's all kind of supernatural. I want to tell you, my friends, we worship a supernatural God. We worship a God who creates out of nothing. We worship a God whose word goes forth and doesn't come back void. We worship a God who created everything that we see, the stars, the moon, everything that we see was created by his hand, and yet he loves you. Now that is a miracle. If there was not another miracle in the whole Bible, if you took away the Red Sea, if you took away the healings, if you took away the blind people, take away everything. But if you're saved tonight, that is a miracle in your very own life. And that is the miracle that we're talking about here. The reason Nicodemus couldn't understand it, he couldn't see it because it's spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. Isn't that what people say? Foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have been given a special relationship with Almighty God. You're his child. You can crawl up on his knee and say, Abba, Father, you belong to him. He is the God who owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns all the gold and silver that are under those hills. He is God Almighty. Supernatural. A failure to believe because they are using earthly reasoning. Well, I want to find a way to bring this to an end. I told Johnny the longer he takes with announcements, the longer I'm going to take preaching. He said, yeah, and I'll come push you down too. Let's talk about that witness that we wanted to take out into the community. That witness is your story. If you're saved tonight, that witness is your story, and nobody can argue with your story, friend. It's your testimony. It's what you say happened to you. I hope God did something for you. I hope God has done something spectacular for you. He saved your soul from hell, didn't he? Amen. That's exactly right. Well, no one can argue with that. And don't let them divert you aside with silly, you heard the word foolishness in the Word of God. Don't let them divert you aside with silly diversions. Oh, does Adam have a belly button? Now you'll go home and study that one. Yeah, I mean, honestly, honestly. I'll tell you, if you allow them, have you ever seen a court show on TV or been to a court and the lawyer says something, the other lawyer says, "I object." And the judge says, "No, counselor, you opened the door to that line of questioning." So the minute you listen, the minute you start answering foolish questions, you have opened the door to that whole line of silliness that will never end. It'll never end. So immediately divert directly back to their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, "Oh, I see you're interested in spiritual things. I'll set you up a meeting with Johnny and you can discuss, because he knows about those things." But what about your relationship personally with Jesus Christ? See? You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to go to no cemetery or nothing like that to learn how to. You've got your own story. You've got your own witness. You can do your ministry for Jesus Christ. So I ask you then, I pray and hope that you're saved tonight. We're going to have a moment of invitation in just a moment, and we're going to talk about that. I hope that you are saved. I pray you are. But if you're not, God placed you in this auditorium for one specific thing. Oh, no, it's not a coincidence. You were placed here tonight to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you were placed here to be saved, because today is the day of salvation. And we as a congregation are praying for you. In just a moment, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to have a moment of prayer. And we're going to ask that everyone in this auditorium be praying for anyone that needs salvation. And we're going to be praying for anyone who might be witnessing to a neighbor, to a friend, to a coworker, to someone that they just met casually. And that we, if any one of these eight misunderstandings, objections, reasoning comes up, that you will have a confidence in responding to them, any of the eight lines of misunderstanding that keeps someone from salvation. Pastor, if you'll come for a time of invitation.